Hey Steepies, it's Crystal with a K here, and what a treat, because Dentonic has arranged for me to come to you live from the newly repainted Galspire Castle, and I am stunned. It's the exact same castle you loved, your grandparents loved, everyone loved, just with a new paint job and a sprinkle of dream dust. Maybe you're worried I'm a little biased because I'm getting such special treatment from Dentonic, but it's me, y'all, Crystal with a K. You can trust me. You have to trust. Well, that does it for this week, gang. Never know when to stop dreaming.
To fathom it. But you. You swore, we both swore. You know they're not ready.
Hello, everyone,
Jacob,
and welcome.
Jacob,
to
they're
Adventure
not
Zone.
Ready.
Welcome to the Adventure Zone. What are you talking about, Charlie?
We have to go back.
Yeah, it's a lost reference.
Oh, it's like a lost thing?
A lost joke. You remember Lost? It was a huge cultural phenomenon, and no one talks about it now.
Yeah, it is. It had the biggest fall off of any cultural phenomenon maybe ever.
Game of Thrones last season's up there.
Not talking about quality. Talking about we're gonna forget this happened. Okay, bye everybody.
Bye everyone.
We're forgetting this happened. Welcome to the world's only Lost fan cast. That's probably 80.
Yeah, come on. There's no way. No.
This is the Adventure Zone steeplechase.
Get in it.
We're gonna get in it.
No, that's my new tagline for listeners at home. Get in it.
Oh, Garbage Pail Kids.
What?
People got off that real what? Quick. People got
oh,
off that.
Yeah, that was another one. Good job, yeah. Dad. That was another good one.
That's true. Although, no, see, even that, my generation will try to aesthetically resurrect that.
Yeah.
For,
yeah.
Man. For, they'll mine that for stuff. Oh, I mean, I don't feel like you'll ever see, like, that will be the, that would actually... If, like, Charlie's generation, I come out, she's 14 years old, was she wearing a Lost t-shirt?
Wild.
It's like, have you seen this shit? It's
I'm
going to
get
hysterical.
I'm going to get a Desmond is my constant tattoo.
Let me just, what? Just quick pitch. Jack standing at the airport. He's got a scratch on his face for some reason. Zoom in real tight on his face. We have to go back again.
Yeah.
Lost again.
Jack Jr. Jack Johnson.
Quibi 2.
Oh, and,
Lost.
And we zoom in on the scratch, and then microscopically we are inserted into his body, and we have to go through
Fox's
his body.
Face.
Hell
that's
yes.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lost takes place in...
And then you see Charlie's hand go up against the wall, and it says, not Jack's body.
Fucking cool. And then it would be like, okay. We did a flashback, a flash forwards, and a flash sideways. Now we're doing a flash inside. Matthew Fox.
Don't you want to be there for that pitch meeting? And the CEO's like, stop selling. I just got to know, is Matthew Fox in it? And the guy turns around and says, no, you silly asshole. It's in Matthew Fox.
Oh, whoa. And money drops from the ceiling like a balloon
drop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, I actually want to do what I'm talking about
now. I think
so. Can we do that? Actually, no. This is key. This is pivotal. This is high stakes.
You know what? I'm just going to say it. TM, TM, TM.
TM, TM.
TM, 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 yeah. I don't know why.
It's called Found.
I don't know why Dad added in the layer of it taking place inside Matthew Fox's body, but it is absolutely
the only thing
that
works.
Making this sandwich.
Yeah. Yes.
It's the only thing that works. It's just Dad jumped like 8 revisions ahead. We would have gotten there, but Dad just like sees all the moves like, well, of course it's in his body.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
That would have been on meeting 22.
Right. Yeah.
Right. For most pitchmen.
But not for Dad. The best pitcher. The Harold Hill of our time, they call him.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're sitting inside the buttercream. You're in Stimson's shop, such as it is. Stimson is busying himself with a ball of yarn.
Is it adorable or creepy?
It's hard to tell because of the eyes.
Shouldn't it be a hairball?
A ball of yarn. I mean, it's kind of a cat thing too.
Yeah. Well, I was just. Thinking.
You blew your whole load at the beginning, huh?
Yeah.
We're just gonna get the better dregs now.
Now, to be fair, Dad is right. Hairballs were more Stimpy's thing.
That's true.
That's where I was going.
All right, Dad. Fine. It's a
meeting 22, baby. Meeting 22.
Now hold on though, because to counter that, Justin, a hairball is something that someone dresses a cat. That's upsetting.
That's gross. It's barf.
Yeah. Okay. It's a hairball then. Fine. We'll make it your HR Giger gross. Like a nightmare, Dad. And Kinchel Denton has his feet on the ground, but he's kind of leaning against a school desk that Stimson has had reclaimed for himself. And he says, "Yeah, you're gonna hit ephemeral."
Now hold on, are you joking me right now? Is this for real? Are we for real?
If you're joking him, you have to tell him.
You gotta tell me if you're joking right now. Are we going up to the most wondrous fantasy scape that the human mind could conceive of? Ephemera?
Okay.
Land of magic and make believe?
Yeah, we absolutely are. Yeah. Well, you are. I can't, obviously.
Are there dragons up there? Because I've been wondering that for a long time now. Are there dragons?
No, sure, yeah. There's dragons. There's
Hell yeah.
So you're not super plugged into the... You're not a femur, like a...
Not a what?
Yeah, Montrose.
Is there, and please be honest about this, because I have a supernatural ability to tell when a person is deceiving me. Is there like a button you can press when I try to pull the sword out of the stone that like unlocks whatever kind of magnetic mechanism you all keep engaged until the moment that an adorable child or a sick person stands up to the sword? Is there any way you can make that? I would be willing to give you a discount on the next heist if you can make that dream come true for me.
You sure you want to know?
Ooh, can we huddle up real quick?
Sure.
Quick meeting. Now,
do
listen.
Do you guys want to know?
This is important. It's important for me to get this moment.
Yeah, if you know that it's not magical, that if it's just like a button.
Of course, it's not magical. When you pull up on the sword, you hear ka-chunk, you hear machine.
No, I know it's not magical, but like, is it luck, you know, or is it a button?
Fine. Never mind. I rescind my discount.
Damn it. So you don't want to know?
I'll come across it naturally. I'm a little old. I've never seen someone of my age group successfully pull the sword from the stone.
If it's really important to you, just.
Well, tell me.
You gotta at least
tell me. I would love to know.
You gotta start with Ninjaman in the. He's in the market.
Ninjaman?
Guy. Yeah, it's like Benjamin, but with an N at the beginning.
Ninjaman Nutton.
It's not my department. Ask him about the abandoned manor house.
Yeah.
The stone is in the garden, and yeah.
Well, and the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon.
I won't spoil.
You don't talk while he's talking to me about how to get the sword out of the stone.
Sorry. Yes, yes.
It scans. It uses near field technology. It tracks your purchases from the app. So if you've spent a lot in the park that day, then it will automatically let you pull the sword.
It should probably work for everybody.
You would think that.
That would be so beautiful.
Yeah, I maybe you have infinity swords, but I
they get to keep the sword. The sword comes all the way out.
Of course, they get to keep the sword. Listen to yourself.
Yeah, they get to keep the sword. It's about $10.
I want you to know that this has not tarnished the magic of this moment that I will achieve in the future for me. Magic, mechanicals, no matter what. If I'm getting a sword, I am set for the day. Thank you very much, Mr. Den.
Now that we've established that, do you want to tell us like what we're doing?
Yeah. How much do you all know about ephemera lore?
Everything imaginable.
Okay, so this will be a little bit boring for you, but this is just the basics. I'm surprised more of you guys aren't femurs. You really seemed like the type. I mean, I dabbled as a kid, but I, anyway, the whole the Kingdom of Ephemera was formed hundreds of years ago when Raymond the Conqueror felt a mighty dragon roosting at the peak of the nearby mountain. It said when the dragon was killed, a clear stream began flowing down the mountain and formed a rushing river in the valley. You guys really didn't learn that it used to be part of orientation.
I was a little zoned out.
Yeah. So Raymond the Conqueror built his kingdom, and he was ousted by Sashura Dome Chaser. And Sashura led a fearless army into the kingdom, took the throne. But Ephemera prospered under Sashura's rule and then fell to ruin in bi-yearly cycles. So you get really not...
It's starting to ring a bell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will give them some of the finer details. During
so the citizens established the regency and handed it over to the Good Hopes. After they removed Sashura from the throne. The important thing is that the Good Hope dynasty, well, the third Good Hope dynasty, founded and began work on the Gaul Spire, which is sort of like the big symbol of Ephemera, you know, of the whole North Ephemera kingdom, and certainly of the whole, you know, hierarchy.
Okay.
And it's a symbol of the layer, you know, when you talk about it, you see Gaulspire. I
mean, so that's what's on like the pennies that they press in the machine.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's the Carmine used to call them weenies.
Excuse me?
Yeah. He had this dog that would follow him around whenever he would pop a hot dog out of the fridge. And he wanted something like that on each of the layers, some sort of like central symbol. Well, a weenie, something for people to follow and to lead them along.
So this weenie is, just so I'm clear, it is a very phallic thing. Is that connected or is
invariably, it just... yes.
It doesn't always have to be, but it, you know, it doesn't hurt, if you know what I mean. People tell that story.
You know what I mean.
It doesn't hurt that it looks like a, you know, the phallic thing. I don't know if it's intentional or not. Oh. I'm not a big design guy. But I have heard that story about a dozen times. You know, the weenie thing. It's
you
fun
want
trivia.
Us to find the hot dog and bring it to you.
Thanks. I don't have to be here. You know that, right?
I know that and respect that. You are really slumming it with the three of us, and I acknowledge and respect it.
Every minute.
The weenie thing drives me fucking crazy. People tell the story. Isn't it charming? They imagine this dog chasing after, you know, the hot dogs that he gets out of the fridge, and they don't stop to question the fact that he saw everybody like his dog. I mean, that's the connection that this guy made, and we're all telling... Anyway, it's not important. The thing is the Gaul Spire. At this point, Kenchel flips open a really thin laptop that he had just sort of placed on the desk. You hadn't really noticed it, but then you see Ephemera. You see a sort of swooping, what looks to be a promotional video showing Gaulspire in all its glory. It is crystalline and reaching up towards the heavens, but there's obviously some European influences in the design. It's not naturally occurring, you know, like not Elsa's ice castle level, but it is, I mean, indisputably gorgeous. The scale is around 3/4 to give the impression that it's even grander than it actually is. I'm sure they would have built it higher, but there are restrictions on the layers. This is the first, though. This Ephemera was Carmine Denton's first layer that he created after the base Steeplechase Park, and when he drew all of his parks into one location in Georgia, this was the first expansion.
It's not first height wise, right?
It's been moot.
We leave those placements open to interpretation here.
Okay.
So we don't really.
I don't know why I assumed Eustabin was the lowest level. Maybe just because it was the.
Hell, man. I might have said it.
Tell you where we started.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the base levels are all they're all shopping.
Okay, cool.
Ephemera is kind of a fun one, or at least it's interesting. It's not as immersive as the others, which you'll notice when you head up there. There's a lot of work, a lot of money that goes into all of these different layers, making it so you can just sort of, you know, forget where you're at for a little bit. But ephemera isn't quite the same thing. I mean, we just don't have to invest in it in the same way. I mean, you have to go to ephemera. I mean, have you really lived? Is your life complete if you don't have the one cover photo of you, you know, pretending to hold up Gullspire? Everybody has to go to ephemera. So
do you remember when you did try to pass that legal law in Congress? Your lobbyist tried to pass. You may not have been involved with the project, but it did want to legally require everyone to go to Gullspire in their life.
The problem was recidivism. We just didn't have the repeat customers when we legally mandated it.
Yeah.
So you know, we had to bail on
that. And when people died without having to go to the park, you kept trying to sue them.
Yes, and sue them, sue the dead people.
The dead people.
That is the overview of ephemera and the state of ephemera. But that doesn't really. I mean, it doesn't get at what I need from you all. This place is important. This was his. This is a place where people will take notice of what you're doing. This is a place the fans, the steepies, are. Ugh, God, I hate even saying it. The fans. This is a place where the fans are starting to get frustrated. This is a place where we can start to leverage opinion against Evelyn and the direction she's taking things. Look at Gullspire. Look real closely. They've replaced it. And not only have they replaced it with a hard light simulacre, they kind of fucking ruined it. I mean, in my opinion, I didn't have a lot of input into this, but they ruined it. I mean, it just doesn't feel, I mean, it looks good. I know, but it doesn't feel right, you know? And people are pissed off. Like, people are starting to actually pay attention. I think it's a little sad, if I'm being honest, but whatever's happening, I think we can fan the flames a little bit. Look, this is the worst part. Look at the front. And you see at the front, as the cameras in this promotional video starts to zoom in, they have put a giant 150 medallion, like, right hanging in front of Gullspire as a celebration of the sesquicentennial that you all know is going on throughout Steeplechase. Look at that. Isn't it? It's hideous, right?
Well, it's nice workmanship. I mean, the texture of it, it's a seeming texture, looks very, very smooth.
But,
very,
Mr. Denton, I know that I've been interrupting a lot, but this one's like a serious one.
Yeah, please.
So up to this point, we've stolen like a pen and like we stole a car, which we stole a person now that I'm thinking about it. But we've never stolen like a tower. Like what exactly is our target here?
Oh,
did you not think that would be the next sort of step?
No, he hasn't gotten it yet. He's a little thicker than you. Huh? Mask? You're the brains, eh?
Are you asking us to steal this big-ass medallion?
No. No. No.
I'm telling you... It sounds silly now that I say it out loud.
No, 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 no. I'm telling you to steal the Gullspire.
Okay, see, that's kind of what I was, if I'm being honest, worried you were getting at.
Yeah. Well, no. What? No. I want you to steal the entire fucking thing.
Oh boy. That might be a little more heat and attention than we.
Oh, it will be heat galore.
Yeah, absolutely. It will be hugely embarrassing. Hugely. A lot of people haven't even picked up that they've swapped it out. They did it overnight, demoed the place, popped up these three gigantic prisms, like soccer ball sized. Popped up these three prisms, replaced the Gaul Spire. I know. It's pretty sweet.
This dude totally nuts over hardline stuff.
I get it. Yeah, I know. We know about
Mr. Denton, if I may offer a slight change alternative to that plan.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely be open to that.
Well, what if we were able, hear me out, to reprogram those prisms in such a way that the like spire would break down over a period of like days, so that we wouldn't like necessarily be at ground zero when boop the whole thing just disappears.
That's really good. Yeah. And what I like so much about that is that it's exactly as dramatic as the castle disappearing. That will definitely have the exact same impact as my kick-ass idea.
Yeah.
Also, we'll see, but
Listen, not.
Cool. But your idea does not highlight how poorly designed it was.
If it disappears and people realize that a switch has taken place, that's the grand gesture.
That's the gimmick. And they honestly, they can fix issues in hard light coding. I mean, that's not going to be an issue for them. The prisms are gone. They got to start anew. They already blew up the old castle. It's not like they got another one waiting in the wings.
These prisms would have to at least be the size of a human being each.
They're soccer ball sized. They did a lot of like refraction. Reflexology. Sure, I don't really care that much what you guys think about me. So I am not going to sit here and justify my knowledge or lack thereof.
Okay, was that a lie?
What
was that a lie?
Which part?
Him not caring what we think about him.
Yes. No, that's the truth.
Oh, damn.
But he is lying about understanding how it works.
Yeah. I love how Montrose has become Poker Face.
Yeah, it's funny how that happened at the same time.
He came up with that before Poker Face
did. I know he did.
Well, Blades in the Dark came up with that before Poker
Face. Yeah, that's true, I guess. Well, the invention of lying, the hilarious timely...
Starring
Mel Brooks,
infallible Ricky Gervais. Mr.
We stand an unproblematic.
No, we fucking do not.
No, we do not. Okay, Mr. Denton, if you're not going to justify that, how about then you justify by talking about payment?
Oh, yeah, it'll be good.
Okay.
You have no idea what an amount of money for people of our
staff. Can I be honest with you? I have no idea.
1,000 suites.
What do you mean a suite? Like,
oh dang. Okay. You know,
a thousand?
Yeah, sure.
Now, here's the problem. Any big transaction like that is going to be noticed. We have people who monitor our finances pretty closely because it's hard to separate the family and the people in it from the business when it's got your name on it. So that would be tough to move that kind of money. And if I could be completely honest with you, I don't have a ton in a sort of liquid state, if that makes sense.
I will be honest for the three of us. Because I respect that in other people, and I hope they expect it from me, we do not understand what you just meant when you said that. I think you were saying that your money is wet somehow, or not wet, and I did not...
Very dry, I think. Is it like an arid kind of money?
Okay.
We know stuff about other stuff, but this one particular thing we are just clueless about.
What's good for you? What's like... good for you. What? Hey, cat. What is like a hamburger cost? Okay. Okay, I'll offer you 10 sweets.
I must clarify that
I am not J. Wellington Wimpy from the Popeye comics. I do not request
right,
payment in hamburgers.
I just needed a barometer for like how, like I know what a hamburger would cost me, but you don't eat the kind of hamburgers I have access to. I need to know what you think a hamburger is worth. If I do that, I can run the math. That math every day.
Go for Wagyu. Try to get Wagyu.
But we actually made up Wagyu to keep you guys busy.
I knew it.
No, they're on some other shit.
Counter pitch. Mr. Denton, 6.
I love this. You have very accurately judged the extent to which this is a negotiation. Please go right ahead.
6 sleets.
Her.
That's
and
lower.
Maybe, and you connect us with somebody who maybe we can sell some of the more fancy items that we might purloin during our adventures.
Well, listen, you need somebody to buy and sell. The cat is surprisingly adept at it. I think that he's going to be your best bet on that front.
Okay, and along those same lines, I think Emmerich would really like to keep the giant prisms.
Yeah, well, obviously.
In addition to the fee. Because I think there's a way to use that towards our goals. But that's something else we can figure in.
We can negotiate. I honestly, guys, I don't care about the prisms. I don't care about the castle. I don't care about the money. I don't care. It's just got to be big. It's got to be splashy. And it can't come back to me.
2 amendments to the proposal. We prefer to be paid in numbers divisible by 3, just to keep it tidy.
Okay, 9.
12.
12. 12 is more the number I was considering for this job, since you're asking us.
But this sheet on the internet says the 10 is the most I can give you.
Then 10.
No,
10.
Oh, 12.
12. 12. And, okay. And 3 of your rich guy hamburgers, because since you have said you invented Wagyu to distract us, I know that you all are on some next level shit up there. I know what I said about not wanting to be paid in hamburgers like Wimpy from the Popeye comics, but now I am requesting specifically that.
Like one of those bodacious hamburgers that's kind of, it's okay, but then you add like some gold leaf to the bun and there's like gold cheese or whatever.
Do not insult this man by saying you understand what is on these bodacious burgers.
I watch a lot of videos about it.
If your mind could conceive of what goes on these bodacious rich guy hamburgers, you would be making them. You would be a rich guy.
Just assuming that I have access to rich guy resources simply because I have the desire to create a rich guy hamburger is a large leap.
Please, Mr. Denton, those are our terms.
This is a waste of my time. I will send you your burgers. That's not a problem.
Then we have ourselves a deal.
You need anything else? I mean, getting comfortable in ephemera can be a little bit tricky, but any other questions?
Do you know, is there any, who's the lead person? Like, who's the person that we can say such and such sent us to, do stuff? Like, is there any cover we can do that way?
You know this, but Elder Garrick the Day Shaper is the main authority figure in ephemera. Elder Garrick the Day Shaper is as close as they got to a boss. He's the one in charge. He settles, disputes. The Viscount Milo Rumbleshadow and his twin sister Mila Rumbleshadow.
Yeah.
They are kind of the real power in.
And they're mischievous cats who are always stealing jewels from the master's house.
At least in that faction. I think.
Is there a railway leader who does some tap dancing we should know about?
No, you're doing a cat's run. It's very funny. And now that I've acknowledged it, I guess you can move on.
Hey, thank you very much.
Is that something we can do in our podcast?
Oh, did you guys not know about this?
No!
Yeah, Justin's been doing this for years. Yeah. I do have one last thing. So up until now...
Is it about the lore? Because I could actually talk about that all day.
Up until now, our heists have kind of corresponded with events that we're kind of infiltrating and using as cover.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any, is this just like an average day in ephemera, or is there?
Oh, but there's no such thing as an average. Yeah, it's an average day in ephemera. The like I said, the other layers need those events. The other layers need to put the effort in. Ephemera just is ephemera. I mean, it is pretty short. A lot of the hard light stuff is a little sketchy. It's a little bit busted down there. Gallspire's nice. That's one of the new the newer generations, but or fail spires. People, did you hear that?
So people funny. Are on it.
Everybody hates it, but yeah, that's the it's just a regular time there. Have you guys ever run it before? Have you run any of the different arcs or different storylines?
My friend, I open up the fucking one of my sides of my jacket that I'm wearing, and I've got pins from the the Emerald Coven. I got fucking Rainbow Knights 1, 2, and 3.
Nice! I love the. This is the Marchioness Isabella Monastel that has the typo in it.
You have a discerning eye, my friend.
This is nice. This is nice.
This is my retirement.
Do you have all the Regency set from the Good Hope Regency?
I am missing the Viscount Trollbus's Good Hope's bronze pin.
Those were. Can I tell you something? We didn't actually make any of those.
I suspect it was much. A printer. Yes.
Yeah. Pretty good. Pretty good stuff. So, I'm going to make it a little bit easier for you. I'm going to set you up as legitimate guests. You're not going to have to sneak. You're not going to pretend to be anybody else other than who you are. You know, if anybody asks, it'll be a thank you for your help in rescuing Paul Pantry from the hoodlums that tried to defraud him. But no cover. You're just going to be yourselves.
Is anybody, I'm a little bit identifiable, and I think I've been spotted at a couple of these jobs. Is there heat on me? Should I wear like a knight's helmet or something?
I mean, are you asking if we notice?
No, I mean, like, am I going to walk in and people are like, oh yeah, and you're arrested.
Have we noticed you? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
We should just assume that this man knows our mother's maiden names at this point, regardless of what kind of disguise we could possibly don.
Well, we see all of it. I mean, we see all of it. It here's the problem. The level you're operating at, we consider it
shrinkage.
But thank you. I didn't want to say it, but yes. I mean, it's cost of doing business.
Yeah.
I mean, there's story covers we have to pop out once in a while, that sort of thing. Honestly, a lot of it has been my mess to clean up, which is how I saw some of the original tapes and started following your progress. There's real talent there. So that's how I started following you. The problem is it's not that hard to clean up. They can spin almost anything into a narrative. What we all need is something big enough that they can't deny it. When that happens, when the facade of complete control starts to disintegrate a little bit, those are the cracks. That's when the daylight's going to start to show through.
I would like to propose, first and foremost, that we name our group the Shrinkage Bandits.
I love that.
We're gonna work. Mm-hmm. We're gonna work that around in the mouth for a little bit and see if see how we like how it feels. We will attempt to continue remaining on this clandestine level throughout this job, but you are asking us to steal the trademark of ephemera. I do not know we will be able to stay such low profile should this job succeed.
I'm new to like heisting and stuff, but I think this maneuver is called the Full Copperfield.
Yes.
And it's it gets noticed.
I should have been more clear. I mean, This is this one's gonna be a kind of you're gonna have to be done with these guys. I think maybe these that you are, these people that you are. I think you're gonna need to be done with it because they are not gonna rest. I mean, when they identify it, they will not let up.
Yes,
I see.
I mean, I have several ready to go.
Sure.
Well,
I mean, I would hope so. But isn't it? Wouldn't it be a relief at this point?
A mild inconvenience is, but not an unfamiliar one, I would say, is what I would call it.
What about you, Weirdo? You haven't talked much. You in for this?
I cherish the idea.
You knew exactly who I was talking to.
Yep.
I knew exactly who you were talking to. And I, for one, have already been anticipating the opportunity to cease to exist.
So this is just Travis talking, just for the record. I, Travis, am super on board with this heist. But old soft beef makes him real nervous, real good. Scared.
Good. That's, yeah. That's all good and fun. Ready to go?
Right now? I think it's been like 4 hours since our last high, so I would love a...
Well, why don't you guys get some sleep then, I guess. Right?
Yeah.
Obvious. Never had this conversation. Stimson can get in touch with me if I want him to. But I have no idea how you're going to do it. I'm looking forward to it, though. I am, really.
How we're going to rest?
Yeah, no, he's talking about he means the heist.
Oh, I have a definite idea.
We will not let you down. We may let you down, but we will accomplish
quite
the
possibly.
Goal.
You won't be my only call, okay?
Oh, we'll have competition in this heist.
No, I have other options. You are just one that kind of struck me as fun.
I appreciate the opportunity, sir.
So you go to sleep.
Right there in that
right
moment.
Right where we stand.
We have no choice but to stand and sleep. Hey, a couple of quick announcements, too, before we get back to the episode. We've got a bunch of cool stuff over at macromerch.com. If you haven't checked it out, you need to go do that. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Border Angels. Macromerch.com, check that out. Also, Griffin's book, The Stowaway, is out now. It's a choose-your-own-adventure. Go to bit.ly/GriffinStowaway and get all the information there or find it at a local bookstore.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome, Griffin. And Justin's great, too. He does cool things.
Whatever.
All right. Back to the show.
If you have trouble falling asleep, try sleeping with celebrities.
Tell me about your view of succulents.
I'm not a huge fan.
It's a different kind of sleep podcast.
There are some real benefits to parking illegally.
Featuring remarkable guests and unremarkable topics.
There's two Orlando airports.
From the creator of Depresh Mode with John Moe, it's Sleeping with Celebrities. Every week on Maximum Fun. Nighty Night Sleepyheads.
Hi, I'm Jesse Thorne, the founder of Maximum Fun, and I have a special announcement. I'm no longer embarrassed by my brother, and me. You know, for years, each new episode of this supposed advice show was a fresh insult, a depraved jumble of erection jokes, ghost humor, and frankly, this is for the best, very little actionable advice. But now, as they enter their twilight years, I'm as surprised as anyone to admit that it's gotten kind of good. Justin, Travis, and Griffin's witticisms are more refined, like a humor column in a fancy magazine. And they hardly ever say Bazinga anymore. So, after you've completely finished listening to every single one of all of our other shows, why not join the McElroy Brothers every week for My Brother, My Brother, and Me?
I have a procedural.
We're still asleep.
Let me sleep, Dad.
Now we're awake. Okay, go ahead.
Oh my God, you guys slept forever. I know that this game leans towards doing the action without any real planning.
I assume we'll do some investigation.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're not just gonna.
There is.
You guys are gonna need to come up with a plan,
right?
Okay. I have an idea that. But I'm just trying to ask you procedurally how we proceed.
I think it would be weird for you to have an idea at this point
without
considering you have no idea about any of it. I think if you have something, I'd sit on it and just try to get your legs underneath you there first.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And then let me know how you want to proceed.
I know what you're saying about how we've just kind of hopped into stuff in the past, but this one, it feels like we will need to use that top tier of skills of survey and.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. So, have we reached the
reconnoitering? Good morning. Good morning. Rise and shine. Good morning, boys. It's me, Poppy.
Oh. Hi, Pop.
I got Hello. Your crescents.
Oh.
Our what?
I brought your favorite, your crescents.
How long have you been standing there watching us sleep, Poppy?
I wake you all up every morning at 7:30.
That's not what he asked, Poppy, and you know it.
I take a crescent roll and I say, "Oh, thanks, Poppy," and I just throw it in the trash can right next to me. Yummy.
Every day.
Can I have another? Can I have another one?
Learned.
Oh no!
Still hungry.
I get it. You don't have time for old Poppy. What are you all doing in here?
We were sleeping. You know that. You came in. God knows how long ago.
Oh, all right. You want to watch your videos. Read your magazines, I understand.
We were sleeping. We were laying in bed. You came in, and we were asleep, and you woke us up at 7:30 a.m. with crescent rolls.
You boys know I love you, right?
Poppy, if you come in this room one more time without knocking.
I've never had my favorite boys.
Poppy,
this is even freaking me out.
We went to bed at 4 a.m. You let us sleep for 3.5 goddamn hours.
I'm still very sleepy.
Half hour.
Poppy, if you come in this room without knocking one more time, I will end your life.
We're going to set up traps next time.
We'll set up a trap and Poppy.
Some complex traps. I'd love that. Sounds like you all. All right. Well, I'm going to get out.
Get out.
I'm going.
Was he wearing a kimono?
He's still standing there.
I'm down the hall.
You're not. You just covered up your mouth with your hand.
You're watching us from 10 feet away.
You put your hand over your eyes.
Hey, Poppy.
That doesn't make
you
not there.
Hey, Poppy. Hey, Poppy. This is. You remember the question you asked me last week? This is why. This is why.
Now go make me some biscuits.
No, don't.
He's gone.
You could hear. You thought you heard sniffling, but like you can't be sure.
He might be snorting coke again.
He might be getting all fucking jazzed.
He's getting tooted in there.
He's tooted.
Poppy's doing poppers.
That's how
he got the
He's
name.
Actually 29 years old. That's why they call him Poppy.
Oh God, we just added to canon.
I love it.
You all, for once, get to take the bi-rail, like fine, upstanding adults, real visitors, and you pull in to, it's not a completely nondescript DMV type place, but it looks basically like that, mm-hmm. except for there's some paintings of like trees, some like, medieval type sconces on the walls, but it's pretty drab. There's a counter and someone is standing at it. They're wearing a robe with a large, it's like a brown
almost like monastic sort of look, but they got a name tag on the front. And it says Dangel. And Dangel looks up and says, hello, welcome to the Kingdom of Fimbria.
Hail and well met.
Don't do that. Okay. We're not inside yet. Don't do that.
Okay.
This is a businessman. We are not. Wait. Just wait.
Does Dangel's name tag habits have their hometown underneath their name?
No.
Oh.
Damn. That would have been funny.
Asked and answered.
No, but. It says 7 years underneath, so you know how long Dangel's been with the company. Hey, and welcome to the Kingdom of Ephemera. Are you ready to get whisked away to another incredible adventure?
Oh, slow down. You're painting too broad of a picture. It's beautiful in there.
These are some first-timers, I assume. Actually, Emmerich, have you been?
No, I've never been. I've always found it fascinating.
What lands did you work on, Emmerich? Because I know you did a lot of stuff, but you don't seem to be, well-versed with any of them.
Ephemera would have predated Emmerich by about 150 years.
Oh, okay.
I worked at Lugelandia, the snow sports layer.
Okay.
Okay, yes, you did.
Yes.
Fine.
You worked in the lair where the whole thing was a simulation of being inside Matthew Fox's body.
Yeah.
No, Foxburg. I'm saving that.
The island that was just full of adult clubs that only lasted for about 5 years.
By the way, do we all have Paradise Lost? Are we all wearing matching shirts?
You are wearing t-shirts and cargo shorts.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. You're wearing whatever you're wearing before.
Not that.
Yeah, not certainly that. Not that.
We have a couple first-timers here. I was wondering, do you still charge for the magic map? So that they can have their bearings a little bit better, I'd be willing to dish out for that.
I can tell you have an eye for fine bargains, but that will be provided to you.
Oh my!
Digitally,
we don't. How generous.
Yeah, we don't do that. Well, you have to pay for it, but it's just.
Oh, I see.
We don't have the paper ones anymore. You, Mass, name and class.
Sorry. Give me a moment. I reach into my wallet and pull out my card for my locker that has my number on it. I already have a character.
Okay. What's their name and class? I can look it up for you.
He is a Hawkblade.
Oh, cool.
And
wow, really? You've been here. That's a tri-class. You've been here a lot, huh?
I've had a few spins at the loom, so to speak.
Okay. Yeah, another turning of the weaver's tail. Yeah, for sure. Cool. Well, blessings to the 7 to you.
And also to you.
What about you, thick guy?
My character's name is Thick Allen.
Thick Allen?
Yeah.
Is that with
one word?
How many Ks?
Only one. Thik.
Okay.
C.
Okay.
A L.
Why on Christ's earth would you spell it that way?
It's cool. A lot of this
it's
stuff
fantasy. It's like, Thick Callan.
It's like weird fantasy stuff.
A L. I wasn't done. A L.
Sure. Yep.
Y N.
Okay. I got you in here, Beef. Next up.
No, but his class.
Oh yeah. What do you want to?
Can you list off like all the options?
Paladin, warrior, dwarf.
Uh huh. Dwarf is a class.
Servant of the Seven. What?
Never mind. Keep going.
Servant of the Seven.
Mm-hmm.
Infrastructure expert.
Yeah.
And gloomsayer.
Okay, I'm gonna go with just like fighter.
Yeah, fighter. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Nice. Here's your stick. And he picks up a well-worn, what looks to be about half of a pool cue in length and size. And he hands you a well-worn stick that is, weirdly, a little sticky, which you're not wild about.
What's stick-ish?
It's stickly.
Stick-stickly?
Okay. Dad.
That was weird.
Sir, Emmerich, whatever. Come on over.
Daddy?
Yes, son?
Okay. You don't have to make a weird thing out of it.
I am SZG.
No.
Yes, I am.
I'm not spelling that.
SYZYGY.
Okay, a lot of Y's in there.
Yeah,
I haven't heard that many Y's since my last divorce.
Oh man, it's Angel. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going with a wise, as in wise person. Syzygy Craig.
And wow, you bowled right over my man's confession of a deep, dark, longing sadness.
He went through a rough time, and
I forgot what I was saying anyway. Syzygy Craig.
We call him Craig.
And I am a spelling bee. A magical insect.
You actually, we only allow human scale classes anymore. We can't account for people of insect scale having a great experience.
Well, then I'll just be a speller.
Oh, I mean, he could also be just a man sized bee.
Good call.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like Ant Bee on the Andy Griffith Show.
It's going to mess up the. I mean, if he didn't, I'm not going to do the press.
He can say he's a bee. Maybe he's a bee who got turned into a man.
I mean, we throw a sort of.
Well, I'll just stay with Speller since it was my joke to begin with.
Yeah,
it was. Oh, it was a joke.
It was a joke. Oh, yeah, okay, that's perfect. Okay, so perfect. Yeah. And you see, Dangel typing on a keyboard where the keys have been made to look like wood. But some of that is like scraped off, so it's pretty ratty. And he's typing.
No, it's thick, Alan. It's got a thorn at the beginning. It's a thorn, I K C.
Thorn I K C. Okay, got it.
I K C A L Y N. Thick Alan. Yes. Thank
you. Okay. Okay. It looks like your room isn't quite ready yet.
Jesus, Dangel. Is this
you rough? Ill?
What did you have for lunch, Dangel?
Mutton, same as every other day, pal. You want to, okay, your room's not quite ready. You want to, if you would like to wait at our cafe, Bumbershoots, it's just across the way over there.
I fucking take off at a dead sprint.
Okay.
Bumbershoots!
Yeah, wait at Bumbershoots.
Montrose is really excited, isn't he? Isn't it pleasant to see
you? Do not call me Montrose, for my name is Artemisius Goodparty.
Oh,
jeez. Okay.
Hawkblade of the Emerald Coven.
Yeah. When you emerge out the other door, it is transportative. I mean, it is. The scale of it is what surprises you, because you aren't walking into what you thought would be sort of a very large entrance for all the crowds coming in. But somehow they funneled people in, so each arrival feels a little bit more personal. You're not just part of the herd. You walk out to see a fountain depicting one of the seven doing battle with what looks to be some sort of orc-type creature on top of Mount Gloom. You see water emanating from their eyes in kind of a weird, weird choice. And then across from you, you see Bumbershoots, which looks like nothing so much as a TGI Fridays. There's a large and large illuminated letters that one or two have gone out. It just says, Bumbershoots, a fine place for a fine meal. And you see some advertisements of specials in the window. And that is Bumbershoots.
It's so weird. I'm just thinking, I think, like, beef, having come from Eustabin, right, and Gutter City and Paradise Cove, very, very heavily themed. I think this is off-putting, right? Like, if you went to someone's house and they just had, like, a Starbucks in their dining room, right? Yeah. I'm just like, what the? Okay. It's fucking weird.
There's advertisements in the window for a new root beer levitation potion, which is just a root beer float. And they seem to be really excited about it. It's got a reasonable price, considering the price of hamburgers. It's got a reasonable price to it.
Super rich turbo burgers.
No, super rich turbo burgers at Bumber Shoots. It's straight down the middle family fare.
Okay. So, you going to head over?
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
all right, sorry, I'm already inside.
You're already inside. The three of you make your way inside, and you throw open the door. It's a slow time of day, so there's only one other person sitting there. It looks to be a bored man who's poring over a map. He, like you, was issued sort of standard issue peasant wear, except for you, Montrose. I'm assuming you have some accoutrement that you saved from your previous visits.
Yeah, you could say that.
You open the door to Bumbershoots and look inside. There's the one man there in his peasant wear. And then behind the counter, you don't see anybody. And then there is a poof of purple smoke. And then someone who had been crouched behind the counter, very obviously, stands up from behind the counter. And you see in front of you a wizard holding an umbrella over his shoulder. And he says,
"Hello, I'm Taco from television. Welcome to Bumbershoots. Are you ready to do battle with the hunger?"
Holy fucking shit.
Hail and well met.
No, it's the end of the episode.
Oh, okay.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.